Chapter 17, Pointer to Disaster. Scotty ran to the speedboat and yelled, "Come on!"
"Wait,"
Rick called. "Let's not go barging off without knowing what we're doing." Scotty turned, puzzled.
"What do you mean?"
"The girls have some kind of a plan, and we don't know what that is. If we go barging around in the speedboat, we might throw a monkey wrench into whatever they're doing."
"But we can't just stand here and do nothing," Scotty said desperately.
"We won't. Go get the plane warmed up and wait for me." Rick hurried into the house and ran up the stairs to Barbie's room. Working fast, he went through the dresser, then through the shelves in her closet. Not finding what he wanted, he paused to look around in case he might have overlooked a possibility. He didn't know where girls kept things, and he suspected that sometimes the places weren't the same as boys might pick. But he could see no possible place he hadn't searched. That meant that Barbie had her Megabuck unit with her, unless she had left it somewhere else in the house. He plugged in his earphone and called, "Barbie." There was no reply. His lips set grimly. Well, there was no use in wasting time here. He ran from the house, hearing the sound of the sky wagon as Scotty warmed it up. Joe Blake was not in sight. Rick hurried into the lab and found him watching Professor Morrison, who was checking some calculations on the lab's small computing machine.
"Joe, could you step outside for a moment, please?"
Outside, Rick explained that the girls were missing and then asked, "Can you get the plane frequency on your receiver?"
"Sure, it's an all-wave job. What's the frequency you use?"
Rick told him and then explained, "We don't know what's going on, so we want to be prepared. If some of your scout leaders can move down the coast to North Cove and keep an eye on the houseboat, Scotty and I will search from the air. If we see anything, we'll let you know on the plane's radio. You won't be able to talk back, but at least you can hear us, and you can let the scouts know." He wished his mind had worked faster. Then he could have taken Scotty's Megabuck unit and given it to Joe. But there was no time now, and this other arrangement probably would do just as well.
"I'll pass the word to the gang on the mainland right away," Joe agreed.
Joe went back into the lab, while Rick ran to Pirate's Beach. Scotty was waiting, the plane's engines turning over. Together they launched the sky wagon and then climbed in, Scotty in the pilot seat. As Scotty took off, Rick tried Barbie again on the radio. "Barbie, this is Rick. Can you read me?" No reply. "We better fly as though we're headed for Whiteside," Rick suggested. He rubbed his palms on his handkerchief. They were damp with nervous perspiration. He was not as calm as he looked. Scotty swung around on course, and Rick scanned the water as they passed over the north side of Spindrift. There was no sign of the rowboat yet. The plane traveled in a straight line right across North Cove. The houseboat was at anchor a few hundred yards offshore, and the pram was tied up to the rear rail. There was no sign of life. The boys reached the Whiteside Pier without seeing the girls or the boat. Scotty put the plane into a tight circle and looked at Rick helplessly.
"Now what?"
"They can't have gone far, not in a rowboat."
"They had the aqualungs," Scotty pointed out. "They must have expected to use them."
"Yeah, but how? If they planned to get aboard the houseboat, they wouldn't be using the aqualungs."
"Would they?"
"Search me." "Wouldn't they just row up to the houseboat on some excuse or other?"
"Wish I'd looked. Barbie might have taken those clothes Dad wore home last night."
"Well, we can't just float around up here and talk," Scotty said urgently. "Let's do something." Rick felt the same way. "Okay, throttle down and go slow. We'll scan the whole coastline from here to Spindrift."
Scotty did so, holding the little plane barely above stalling speed.
Rick leaned out and traced the shore with anxious eyes. The plane turned and twisted as Scotty followed the coastline as accurately as he could. They reached the upper tip of North Cove and swung into the cove itself. Scotty tapped Rick on the shoulder and pointed. A man and a woman had come out of the houseboat and were watching the plane. "Wonder where the other pair is?" Rick asked. There was nothing they could do about the people in the houseboat now. Let them wonder what the plane was doing. Rick turned his attention back to the shore below. The plane traveled the length of the cove shoreline and rounded the southern tip. They passed over a section where the woods came right down to the water. Birches leaned far over. Rick caught a glimpse of what might have been the rowboat, but the plane swung and he lost it.
"Circle,"
he said quickly. "I think I saw something." Scotty gunned the sky wagon and threw it into a tight turn. Rick watched carefully as the clump of birches came into view. There was a boat under them, all right. He wished for the binoculars, but they were probably at the attic lookout where Barbie and Jan had spied on the houseboat. He had no real doubt. He was sure that the boat was the Spindrift rowboat. "Circle over the island," he called to Scotty, then reached over and took the hand microphone from the instrument panel rack. He turned on the radio and waited a moment while it warmed up. "Joe, this is Rick. The rowboat is under a clump of birches, just south of North Cove. Have the boys go there and look it over. See if the girls are in the woods. We'll watch for signs of the girls on the water." To Scotty, he directed, "Over the cove, circle the whole area. We'll watch for their bubbles. Joe's men will check the woods." The plane turned obediently. Presently, they were moving in a wide circle with the boathouse as a center. A slight surface wind had arisen, and the water in the cove was a bit choppy, but not enough to obscure bubble tracks made by the scuba divers below. "Do you see anything?"
"Not a trice. Can you see the water around the houseboat well enough?"
"Yeah. No bubbles in the vicinity." Rick dried his palms again, then mopped his forehead. He was becoming thoroughly frightened. Where were they? He checked his megabuck radio to make sure it was on and called again. "Barbie, where are you?" The air was silent, except for the slight background hiss that was always present.
"Look under the houseboat's gunwales," Scotty urged. "If they're directly under it, the bubbles would ride along the sides."
"Why would they go under the houseboat?" Rick asked. Scotty shook his head.
"Why'd they come here in the first place?"
Rick had no answer. "Let's go over to the shore. Joe's men ought to be at the rowboat by now. Maybe they've found the girls." Scotty banked around and headed for the clump of birches. In a small clearing behind the clump, they saw two men in scout uniforms. The men looked up. One spread his hands wide in a gesture that said nothing of importance had been turned up. "There's only one thing to do," Rick said decisively. "We got to check on the—" He stopped as though a hand had clutched his throat. It was Barbie's voice in his earphones. Rick pulled the unit from his pocket and turned up the volume. He couldn't hear her very well.
"It's Barbie," he said swiftly. "Circle."
Rick strained to hear. She was talking to somebody.
"It won't do the slightest bit of good to keep us here, because my brother will know where we are."
The signal faded as she talked. Rick turned to the little radio unit, trying to keep the volume constant.
"You better let us go,"
Barbie was saying.
"You'll get in a lot of trouble if you don't."
Rick groaned. Her threats would do about as much good as a bunny threatening a wolf pack.
Where was she? On the houseboat?
Suddenly, he realized he had the key in his hands. Barbie's voice was high-pitched and frightened now.
"What are you doing? Why are you putting that plastic cap on Jan?"
Rick turned the radio unit as the plane circled. The sweat stood out on his face. Unerringly, the axis of the built-in antenna pointed to the houseboat. There was no longer any doubt.
"Land!" he yelled. "Land next to the houseboat!"
Scotty slammed the throttle in quick response, and as the sky wagon dived toward the water, he cast a quick look at Rick.
"What'd you hear?"
Rick was already slipping off his shoes, getting ready to jump.
"On the houseboat!" he choked. "They're using the mind reader on the girls!"